You would turn with me now into your scripture. Turn into the Holy Scriptures, to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. You can find that on page 1002. Going to be looking at the first 23 verses as we hear Jesus approached once again by these Pharisees who would seek to condemn and undermine Jesus' ministry by pointing out his lack of leadership and lack of understanding. Yet Jesus turns it around on them and shows how they lack understanding. So let us read these words together. Let us now hear God's holy word. The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem and had seen that some of the disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?" And he said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men.'" He was also saying to them, "You are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is Corban,' that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that." After he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him. If it goes into him, but the other things which proceed, if it goes into him, but the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, "Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean." And he was saying, "That which proceeds out of man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murderers, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." So far, our reading in God's holy word. Let us take a moment of prayer. Gracious and merciful Father, ask that you would reveal the truth of your word here to us. And we know that this cannot happen without your Spirit's powerful, life-changing work that opens ears and opens minds and hearts, that we may serve you, that we may change, that we may turn to you in repentance and faith. And so, Lord, we ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved people of God, when I was in primary school, probably around the sixth grade, I remember getting caught saying a bad word. Now, when that teacher approached me, I'm sure that teacher asked something along the lines of, "Why would you say such a thing?" And I could guess that my response would have been something like, "Well, everybody else says those things. Well, I just wanted to fit in. I just did this because everybody else does these things, and I just want to be one of the cool people. It's peer pressure. It's because of them. It's outside of me that has caused me and brought me to resort to this sort of language." Now, of course, at the time, which probably doesn't happen nowadays, the punishment for such a crime was to put soap in your mouth and to have to swish it around and hold it for 10 to 20 seconds to cleanse that dirty mouth of yours. Of course, what this resulted in was not so much a clean mouth from that point on, but instead a more careful observance of acting the correct way around the correct people. It resulted in a hypocrisy that before the teachers, before the church leaders, before the parents, I made sure that my mouth, my words were pure, that they were ones that were acceptable by their standards, that they were okay. But when it came to the playground, when it came to out of earshot of those people, then I continued to seek the approval of others, those ones that I considered cool. The soap could not cleanse my dirty mouth. There was a much deeper problem that needed cleansing. It was an entire attitude, an entire heart that needed to be cleansed, that needed to be changed. And no amount of soap on my body or in my mouth would have changed that. And that is exactly what Jesus seeks to teach here. Jesus here shows the nature of the problem is a lack of a pure heart, not some environmental defilement. Again, that's our theme this morning. Jesus shows the nature of the problem is the lack of a pure heart, not environmental defilement. So we will look at these verses under the points, first of all, outside deception, as we look at verses 1 through 13, in which the foolishness of these Pharisees is exposed by Jesus, that they had merely an outside deception. Secondly, we will look at the inside defilement, shown in verses 14 through 23. So in verses 1 through 13, Jesus again is confronted by this group of Pharisees. We are told of two groups here, the Pharisees and the scribes. These scribes are ones that have come from Jerusalem. But that does not mean that they are not in themselves Pharisees. They are likely part of this sect called the Pharisees. Ones who desired to be separate, to be holy. And as we see, they had all sorts of rules and traditions that would guarantee this holiness, this purity, this cleansing. And they particularly prided themselves on this ritual purity. For ritual purity was of great importance to stand before God as holy. And there were these whole sets of laws that helped these Pharisees to be self-righteous, to put up that front that they were pure, that they were cleansed and righteous before God because of what they did, because of their actions in keeping this environment off them, keeping this defilement away from them. And so you can see the focus of their tradition in that little sidebar, you might say, in verses 3-4. It says, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and the pitchers and copper pots." And so there were these whole long lists of laws, including that they need to wash hands before they eat, because then if they have any sort of defilement, now they are ingesting this defilement. And it's getting into them. It's getting on, not just merely on them, but into them. And on top of that, they clean those pots, specifically the things that were cupped, because, you know, the deadness of dead bodies could get into the air and fall into those cups. And they needed to wash those things to make sure that they would not get defiled by ingesting from these things. And most of all, you can see that if they were ever to go into the marketplace, they wouldn't just merely wash a part of them, but they would fully cleanse their entire body. Because if they went into the marketplace, there might be Gentiles there that they've run into, or Samaritans. They need to remove the filth of these heathens. One must not become contaminated by Gentile scum, or those who carry the leprous judgment of God, or a woman who may have the flow of blood who is wandering in the streets. All these things Jesus himself has come in contact with, as we have seen through this book of Mark. But they thought that these things endangered their purity. These outside environmental factors and circumstances, they are what was the problem. Otherwise, they would be pure. And so they just needed to get this dirtiness off them. Beloved people of God, we can take this attitude as well. It is common for us to remember those words of Adam as God came to him in the garden and said, "Adam, why are you hiding?" "Well, it was this woman you gave me. It was her fault." And Eve, of course, "It was that devil. He is the one to blame." We can sometimes laugh and joke about this. We can even say to ourselves, as I did as a young boy, "It's just the peer pressure. If those kids would all just be good, then I would be good. If I didn't have to try to fit in, then I wouldn't sin. I'd be all right. Or maybe we think as parents, well, if I just keep them from interacting with the world, keep them from TV, the wrong shows, from the wrong people, then they'll be okay. They'll get it. They won't sin. Or as children, if my parents would just be reasonable, then I wouldn't have to go behind their back. I wouldn't have to dishonor them. It's their fault. It's just those environmental outside circumstances, and that's the reason why I sin. The problem is if we don't see that as the problem, that our heart is the problem, and that it's entirely environmental circumstances, we will begin to do what the tradition of the elders was. And that was to lower God's standards to something achievable. To do things in our own merits. To begin to void the Word of God that would reach to our hearts and convict us, not everybody else. And so these men, they put up a facade of their righteousness by checking the boxes, by washing at the right times, by being able to honor their father and mother while declaring their stuff Corban, dedicated to God. What a better thing than that to say, all that I have, this money, it's God's. Now, of course, they get to keep possession of that for the time of their life. But then they can deny it from their parents. They can keep possession of that themselves. We begin to put up traditions as these elders did, so that we ourselves can look pure. Maybe even in good ways. Corban was not a bad thing. To dedicate something to God would be good. It's not wrong. Yet to use something such as this to avoid helping your parents is wrong. We again can put ourselves a whole list of check boxes, and then we'll be okay. Go to church twice. Read my Bible every morning. Pray once or twice or three or four times a day, and if I'm really good, five. Make sure that I do all these things, put up the facade, build up that wall of righteousness so that I look good. I've got my mask on. I have covered over all these things I have hidden. I do in the back room. I do where nobody's looking. Then I can cover over this evil. Nobody will see. And maybe I can just reach that holiness. Maybe I could just buy these things. Be able to come into the presence of God and say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. Wasn't it great when I prophesied in your name? Wasn't it great when I did this in your name? Wasn't it great that I did all these things by coming into your house, by giving of my tithe and my offerings? I did them all for you in your name. Yet God Jesus Christ will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. And so we can put up these facades. We can make it so that it doesn't reach the heart of the matter. If we just check these boxes, we're okay. But this invalidates the Word of God. By tradition, good things that we even are called to do, but we must do them out of a heart of love. A changed heart, a repentant heart, a heart that depends on God and not ourselves, not on the things we can do, and doesn't blame those outside circumstances. Yes, they influence us. Yes, they affect us, but they are not the reason that we sin. They are not the reason for our discontentment. It is our very own heart that is the problem, and that's what Jesus draws to as he calls the crowd around him, as we look at that inside defilement where Jesus confronts all the crowd as well. It says there, after he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them. Maybe the crowd has begun to see Jesus confront these Pharisees and kind of nervously start backing away. Maybe I should get out of here at this time. But Jesus gathers them all in again and makes his point. And he says, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile him. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And so he calls these people together and he says that it's not those outside factors that defile a person, but it's what comes out of the man. It's what emanates from the inside. It's what pours forth from you that pollutes you. And now you might say, well, why are the disciples confused about this? They themselves now come and say, could you explain this parable to us? It is because these ritual purity things did involve an understanding that pollution came from the inside. That even from bodily discharge that one became polluted. And so is Jesus somehow eliminating one aspect of the law but keeping the other? Of these ritual purity things? But Jesus says to them, are you still lacking understanding? Do you still not get it? These Pharisees, or these disciples, as we saw before, still need this changing of heart. They still need Jesus' word. They still need his revelation. They still need him. They need to continue to trust in him, that he is the answer. The commitment cannot be to all these laws. The commitment cannot be to the church. The commitment cannot be to tithes and offerings. But the commitment must be to God out of a love for him. And for that you need a changed heart. Because otherwise you will always just put up a facade. Without a changed, repentant heart, you can never become pure. Because out of that polluted source, out of that will, out of your very being, which was the heart, the image of the heart was the thing that directed you. It's the thing that represented your identity and why you acted and lived the way you did. And you will never change. You will never stop being defiled unless there is this change of the heart. Because out of the heart is where all these evil things happen. And no amount of water on the outside of the body can change that. And no amount of church attendance or tithing or all these other box checking can change that. Again, those are good things, right and proper things, but they must be done out of a heart of love. Otherwise, you will read your Bible, you will do all these things, but they will just be motions. Actions defiled in and of themselves. You need to recognize the problem is you. The problem is from within. And the solution is only Christ. It is not to change your environment. It's not a change of scenery. Or to add another thing to the list that will stop you from sinning. It is repentance and faith in Christ. He is the answer. He reveals the sinfulness of your heart. He incorporates change into your life. He is the one who has the power of the Spirit that can pour out upon you and change you. The answer is in Christ, as He has sacrificed Himself on that cross to cleanse you, not with water, but with His blood. To bring about righteousness in Him. For first of all, we are declared righteous in Him by turning to Him in repentance and faith. But next is a life that walks in repentance and faith. A life that is continually shown where we are defiled. And that continually submits to God's Word and the revelation of that law. Not so that we begin to see the heart of the problem. And we begin to look to Him and change because of our love for Him. And so this law can never change us in and of itself. But it needs to emanate from the heart. It needs to come from Jesus Christ. We need a righteousness from outside of us because we cannot get our own. And Jesus says the problem is inside you. But He is also saying, I am here to solve the problem. I am here to be your righteousness. I am here to pay for your sin. I am here that I might give you a heart of flesh, that I might write my law upon your heart. I meet you in this wilderness of sin, which I will call you, and I will influence you. I will give you that water which will refresh you, as you see in Jeremiah 17 there, where it is that very source which allows that plant to flourish in the heat, to flourish in the midst of these horrible environmental circumstances. But it must be in Him. For He is the one who must change us. Our commitment must not be to the law, it must be to Christ. For it is He who changes us. It is in Him that we find a pure heart. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and mighty Father, we cannot give you enough praise, enough exaltation, enough glory for the wonderful work that you have done in Christ Jesus. Yet, Lord, we ask that you would take our praise, our offerings, and our love, and that you would use it to your glory and your honor. We praise and thank you that you are the one who has strengthened us and given us this pure heart. And we ask, Lord, that you would in this day help us to search our hearts, that we would compare ourselves to the law of love that is required, that we might change, that we might bear your image, that we might be a light unto this world, and that we might tear down any hypocrisy in our lives. Lord, would you deliver us in the midst of these circumstances. Help these difficult environmental circumstances to not be more powerful in our lives than our love for you. This we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen.